Luke 4, verse 25. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land, but none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Zarephath, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. Now he's about to push everybody over the edge of the cliff. But we got one more thing to study in about truth. Let's go to Ephesians 4. I tell you of a truth. This one scripture that's very illustrative. Verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. And remember, vanity just means emptiness, futile, without purpose, totally worthless. In the emptiness, the vanity of their mind. Everybody got that? There's nothing of value in your mind. Let me read it again. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk, conduct your life, not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. The truth is in Jesus. The truth is in him, only in him. That you put off the new man, put on the new man. And remember, that's the word that means you put on a garment. But it's not that you put it on with any effort. You put it on by sliding into it. And you slide into that new man with repentance, total repentance, disowning of all of self. That you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Amen. It's just like love. The love of God is only in Christ Jesus. The truth of God is only in Christ Jesus. It's nowhere else. He is truth. He is the truth. All right, back to Luke. I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. So let's read about that. Widows is chera, just means a widow. 1 Kings chapter 17. Now what he's saying is, first he's going to say about the widow, Zarephath, that he fixed. And then in the next section, it's about Naaman, the leper. And it's only those two was he sent to. He wasn't sent to anyone in Israel. And so you can see why they're about to kick him out of the synagogue and push him over the edge of the cliff. This is the one that all these greedy televangelists use to justify you sending them more money. In verse 17, let's start in verse 9, or verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this is came unto Elijah. This is when he, well, let's go, let's start up. Verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, the king, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. That's a pretty gutsy thing to say to the king. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and fit flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. Now there's a whole raft of commentators that say that the word raven really means the Arabs, but nobody knows.
Bread.
Huh?
And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying,
arise and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon. That means that Zidon is what is now Lebanon. Or that's a part of Lebanon, anyway. And dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman who was gathering sticks, who was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after that, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And so she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And he said unto her, give me thy son. And she took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow whom I sojourned by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth.
And the woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, that thou art the word, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. Okay, the big deal of this was that it wasn't an Israelite. That this miracle came, and God specifically sent him not to any of the Israelites who were suffering equally as this woman was. And many of them died from hunger. But it was only this woman of Sidon. Remember, it's Tyre and Sidon are the two cities below Beirut. You got to see, can you understand why? If Elijah came unto us and he said, you're not worthy. So let's look at the next one. It's the same as John the Baptist. He wouldn't baptize anybody unless they walked across the Jordan and said, they are not worthy to enter the kingdom of God. So the minute you think you got it together, and you're right, God help you. All right. The next one. Well, let's look at that. The widow is Chera. And the widow is also figurative as Babylon. The word Elijah simply is a Hebrew word that says, my God is Yahweh. Shut up heaven. Heaven is Uranus. It just means the vaulted sky was shut up, was obstructed. Here they withheld rain. In 1 John 3:17, they withhold compassion, the same word, or shut up. And then in Matthew 23:13 and 25:10, they obstructed the entrance into the kingdom of heaven. And the famine was limos. It just means hunger. Land is G-E. All right, then 26. But unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Zarephath, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And we just studied that. Verse 27. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha. Remember, Elisha is the prophet that succeeded Elijah, and from Elijah he received a double portion, double mantle.
Just like the televangelists.
Yeah. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed save Naaman the Syrian. Let's look at that. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 5.
Are these all saying kind of the same thing?
Yeah, this one is another example, but it's even worse. Chapter 5. All right. Naaman was commander-in-chief of the Syrian army. And Syria then was a huge land that covered Syria and most of Lebanon, much of the Middle East. So he was a biggie. He was the commander-in-chief. Now, verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captives out of the land of Israel, a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, Thus and thus saith the maid that is out of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter with the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him out of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he sent his clothes and said, he rent his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he walketh. He seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him now come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and he went away and said, Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servant came near and spake unto him, said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith unto thee, Wash and be clean? And he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again, like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Now, the next part of this is interesting because Naaman then goes back and wants to give to Elisha the 6,000 talents and all of silver and clothes and stuff. And Elisha wouldn't take it. But Elisha's servant followed after Naaman and his company and said, Elisha's changed his mind. He wants to take it. So give it to me and I'll give it to him. And then things didn't go well for the servant after that. All right, back to Luke. Well, wait a minute. Before we do that, the word Syrian or Syria, let's go to Deuteronomy 26. This is the first fruit offering. Verse 1. And it shall be when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy giveth thee for an inheritance, and possesseth it, and dwelleth therein. So again, those are the three conditions. Hopefully you have the inheritance. Maybe even you know that you possess it. But the fact is, you must dwell therein. That must be your residence. And the place of that inheritance, that possession, and that place of dwelling is only one place, and it's in New Jerusalem, under the wings of the cherubim, on the mercy seat. Amen? That thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of the land, and that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and thou shalt put it in a basket, and shalt go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there. Thou shalt go unto the priest that shall be in those days, and say unto him, I profess this day unto the Lord thy God, that I am come unto the country which the Lord sware unto our fathers for us to give us. And the priest shall take the basket out of thine hand, and set it before the altar of the Lord thy God. And thou shalt speak and say before the Lord thy God, A Syrian ready to perish was my father. And he went down into Egypt, and sojourned there with a few, and became there a nation, a great and mighty nation. Now that, remember when we do this, this is, you confess that, because it's the word Syria here means a wanderer. And that's what we all were. We were wanderers until we come to the land that our fathers swear unto give, that God swear unto the fathers of faith to give us. Okay? All right. Let's go back to Luke. I just wanted to see the word, how the word Syrian was used. What? Gary, you're doing it. All right. Notice he was cleansed of leprosy. He wasn't healed. There's no case where anyone was healed of leprosy.
Yeah, I noticed that when we were talking about it, but it also said that his skin was made new again.
No, right. After he got, after it was cleansed and washed, and then it was clean. The leper, that's what happened when the leper was fully. He had to be leprous from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. That's the only time he was eligible to be cleansed. And the cleansing caused the disappearance of the leprosy. It's never used. It's never called being healed.
Yeah. Yeah,
because the leprosy is such an incredible type. The person that has leprosy of the forehead, which that just means that that's how your thinking is defined, still in cause and effect, then you can't even be with other lepers. You're condemned to be forever alone until the leprosy is cleansed, until you confess that you are worthless.
Is that part of the reason cantankerous about the process?
Sure. He didn't humble himself.
Even in that, he was...
But it's also it's a revelation of why we're so cantankerous. We have to believe there's something good in us.
We want it the way we want it, even if it's cleansing from our leprosy.
Yeah. Don't be deceived. There's nothing good in any of us. All right. And all, in verse 28, and all they in the synagogue. Now, all is a Greek word, pos, and it can mean all of whatever you're talking about. It could be all the earth, or all the world, or all here. It's all in the synagogue. So it was universal in the synagogue. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. Now, can you begin to get a glimpse why? Here, they just a few verses earlier, they were filled with wonder at the sayings of this man that they knew from childhood. Now, in just a few sentences, they were all filled with wrath. Does that give you any idea what preaching is? It's happened so often. When the preaching is the hardest, the joy is the greatest. And rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him to the brow of the hill wherein on their city was built, and that they might cast him headlong down. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. Now, the only way this would have been legal in Israel for them to have taken that action was there had to be an officer of the synagogue that c- condemned him to this death for heresy. They couldn't, the crowd, in any synagogue, they wouldn't have allowed the crowd to define the sentence. The leader of the synagogue and his guys had to be the ones that pronounced the sentence of heresy. Everybody understand that? Now this is one of the first things Jesus did. It's kind of interesting to me. All that heard, that perceived with the ear, were filled. It's plem, pimp. It's the word P-I-M-P. Pimp lemmy. We're filled with wrath. It's the word thymos, and it's from the same word where we get the word for our thyroid, because it was a seed of emotion, angry passion, boiling forth, indignation, fierceness. They rose up and thrust him. They expelled, it means to expel with violence, out of the city, took him to the brow. It just means any prominence or projection. And we're going to toss him over. Like cast, it means literally to throw over a precipice. But it means headlong. But Jesus passing through, but he passing through the midst of them on his way. We don't know whether this was some miraculous thing that he did or that he just got out of there. The words could mean either one. And then he continued on his way. But let's, we got time. Let's go to John, a couple of verses, and see other places where they got kind of upset at him. John 8. Again, let's go to start in verse 31, and we're just going to look at it, just to see that this whole section is talking who he's talking to. Then said Jesus to those which believed on him. And you know, he called them the children of the devil and all that, and they got furious.
He left out Jews.
Huh?
He left out Jews.
Well, he's, okay. Then said Jesus to the Jews which believed on him. Same thing. So he would say to the Christians which believe on him now. We believe once saved, always saved. You got it? Well, let's just start in verse 52. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall live, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? And Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. They took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. The same kind of deal. One more. Let's go to John 10. A This is when he said he and his father were one. And then the Jews, in verse 33, the Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because thou, being a man, makest thyself God." And Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said you are gods'? If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scriptures cannot be broken, say you of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, 'Thou blasphemest,' because I said, 'I am the Son of God'? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe me not, believe the works, that you may know that and believe that the Father is in me, and I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand, and went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John had first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him, and said, 'John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true,' and many believed on him there." Why did he say, believe the works? Because he did tricks? No. He believed the works because all the places that we've talked about, the 165 at least verses that I'm aware of that prophesy of him, they said he would the blind see, the lame would walk, the dead would be risen. So he fulfilled the works that were prophesied of him. And that's why he said, believe on him because of the works that I did. Okay? It wasn't because he did tricks. That's the point. All right, that's enough. Anybody have any response? You believe Jesus was a really nice guy and that he really said good things to the people? He was a good teacher? Well, there's many others. I just picked those three because they were easy to find. What? Anybody? What, John? Gary, you're doing? You're smiling like you know something.
Well, it's a funny life that he led. Saying this stuff and then having to escape. Mm-hmm. And that's what he
run.
It really puts a sense of being God and man, even though he was in a form of man, and he would say these things, he was everybody nuts, and then he had to run off.
But can you see why it says, if you believe on him, you'll be hated of all men, you'll make his ministers flames of fire?
Yeah.
And what do? We water down the word. So that we want to have converts. So we try to please men with our words. And that's a stench in the nostrils of God. Amen?
What that savor is all about.
And we are always a sweet savor unto God. Both to them that live and then that are better saved and in them that perish. To the one we are a savor of death unto the death. The other, the savor of life unto life, and who is sufficient for these things. You are always a sweet savor unto God until you start doing Antichrist stuff. All right? Take a big guy. Are we going to meet?
Can.